All right. Thank you for the good message and song to the carpenters there. Did a good job there. Appreciate that. Tuck your Bibles. Go to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter number 2. And I think that's somewhere you're familiar with this time of year, Matthew chapter number 2. Let's look at a couple things together. From a familiar passage, we'll look at a fellow that we don't talk as much about, I guess, when we look at the Christmas story from the Scripture. I'll try and tell you a Christmas joke. This is a different version than the one that Brother Brunch uses. Mine comes from older and better manuscripts than his. But two blondes. I don't know what the deal is with the blonde thing, but that's what I'm down to is blonde jokes right now. The two blondes were so determined to find the perfect Christmas tree, so determined that they searched for hours slugging through knee-deep snow in Central Florida, not somewhere else, blistering wind, and they weren't even distracted, didn't bother them a bit. Finally, 5 hours had passed. Conditions were getting kind of dangerous. The sun was beginning to go down, beginning to set. So one blonde turned to the other blonde and said, "I give up. I can't take this anymore. There are hundreds of beautiful Christmas trees all around us. Let's just cut one down, whether it's decorated or not." How many of you heard that one before? How many of you wouldn't? Well, it's hard to say if I told it last Christmas, you wouldn't remember it anyway, but you never know. Matthew chapter 2. Let's look at something here in the passage. I think we've talked about them before, but we're going to see the original Scrooge here in the passage of Matthew chapter 2. And Scrooge is something you hear this time of year also. And we'll talk about that a little bit. A little bit of my perspective tonight on this is sometimes I grew up in church, and that's a wonderful thing. And so all my Christmases have been around church folks and church families, and I praise the Lord for that. But I have noticed there are Scrooges amongst us when it comes Christmas season, and I don't quite always understand that perspective. Now, there's some Christmas songs I don't like. There's probably some you don't like. I don't think my dad likes any Christmas songs, to tell you the truth. Ever since he discovered that Santa Claus was not real when he was a teenager, he has not liked any Christmas songs, for the most part. Some of them I don't like. I get kind of tired. I said something sarcastic the other day, not that it's like me to say something sarcastic, but to my college class about little teeny baby Jesus, little baby, all the time talking about little baby Jesus, and I understand we're emphasizing his birth, but I don't see it in Scripture where it tells us to emphasize Jesus in his infancy. I think there's a Lord Jesus Christ to emphasize according to Scripture, and that's the one high and lifted up. That's the one that's ascended to the Father in heaven. That's the one that's seated at the right hand of the Father of heaven. So that's the one we exalt and preach about. And so I get tired, a little bit tired of the songs that talk about Jesus being an infant baby and all that kind of stuff. But for the most part, I do love the Christmas season, and I think the reason I love it is because of the loved one portion of it. When it comes to personal family and when it comes to church family, I think there's some good things. I know a lot of Christmas Scrooges amongst believers. Going around, talking out of the side of their mouth, grumbling, griping, mumbling, bumbling, complaining, and they say, "Oh, Jesus couldn't have been born this time of year anyway." Well, a lot of times they haven't even studied that thing. They just say, "Well, the sheep are out there grazing, so if it was December the 25th there, then there'd have been snow." And they don't even know the climate that's on the other side of the world from us and all that kind of thing. And I think it ought to be a little bit more study and preparation into that, and not just take a bad perspective. And in fact, I've done a study before following the course of Abiah, which is a Levitical priesthood that John the Baptist's father, Zacharias, belonged to. He was of the course of Abiah or Abijah. And if you look at it and you try and coincide when that course was on the Jewish calendar, and you try and overlap that and do a study to our calendar that we use today, our modern calendar, there is a chance, if you want to give yourself a 3-month window, it'd probably be about November to January that Christ was born, if according to that particular study. So anyway, sometimes we're Scrooges and we don't even have a reason to be. And I want to look at this tonight in Matthew chapter 2, and we're going to look at, maybe we'll call the original Christmas Scrooge here, and see his attitude and make sure that attitude isn't present among us also, okay? Matthew 2, let's read some familiar verses like verses 1 through 10 of Matthew 2. The Bible says, now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days, here he is, here's Scrooge himself, of Herod the king. Behold, Herod's middle name was Ebenezer. Behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. A lot of times when we look at this passage, we look at the wise men, and maybe we'll look at them a little bit tonight, but we're going to focus on Herod, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus is it is written by the prophet, quote Micah 5:2, verse 6, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privily or privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. I have referenced verse 16 that it must have happened within the last almost 2 years, because when he had the order for the babies to be killed, for all the male children to be killed, it was from 2 years old and under that he had killed. So I think that gives a little bit of the time that the three wise men told Herod in verse 7. So he asked him what time the star appeared. In verse 8, and he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child, and when you have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star, which they saw in the east, went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. And see, he's a young child at this time, and not necessarily an infant. Verse 10, when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. It's going to talk about them going into the house in verse number 11. We'll leave off right there, maybe look at it here in just a minute. But let's talk about being a Christmas Scrooge, okay? The Christmas Scrooge term, the term Scrooge basically means someone that hates and despises Christmas for the most part. And I guess you could say, as believers, we should be the last people to be Christmas Scrooges, since we can celebrate a holiday and actually attach meaning to that holiday. The meaning of the greatest gift that was ever given, and we know about that, but so many have never received that gift. And if we're Scrooges about this holiday that is associated, whether we like it or not, or whether we agree with it or not, or whether we could historically prove it or not, this holiday is associated with the name Christ that's in the title of the holiday. So we can't change that. And I don't know that it would help anything if we went about to change it, to take Christ's name out of Christmas. That doesn't make much sense. I think for the most part, we understand it's a battle to keep his name in Christmas, isn't it? In the society that we have today. It's about so many people that live in this world don't know or appreciate or observe or focus on the true meaning of this holiday, Christmas. We celebrate it as a special day commemorating the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And when you think about that, that's just a mind-blowing, mind-boggling event right there. That God, you know how big the Bible says God is? It says he's really big. Really, really big. Bigger than me, bigger than you, bigger than anything we can even use for a comparison in our mind, for an example or illustration. He is so big we can't fathom how big he is, yet God allowed himself to be a man. That's the incarnation, and that's that mind-boggling event. God descending from the glories of heaven, wrapped himself in human flesh, allowed himself to be contained in a vessel of human flesh, and he was born into this world. What a blessing that is. Just to think about that, and we'll never understand it all the way, by the way, until we have our glorified bodies that goes along with our glorified minds, when we shall know as we are known. Then we'll have a little better understanding of what God accomplished, what God did, miraculous it was that God was able to do that and reveal himself to us like that, give the gift of himself to us. As you look at the Bible here and look at this passage, we see one man that definitely failed to understand the true meaning of Christ's birth. This man's Herod. We read about Herod. Now, there's a family. Herod, the name Herod shows up several times in your Bible. It doesn't always mean the same fellow when it shows up. In fact, this Herod is going to be dead by verse number 19, okay? This Herod right here is going to be dead by verse number 19. You'll read about another Herod dying about halfway through the book of Acts, okay? And none of the Herods were good Herods as far as what we would call good men. History doesn't even talk good about Herods, okay? That Herod family, that the Herodian dynasty, if you want to say, that basically Herod, he was a man, he was the king of Israel, not because he earned it or not because he had the right by birth or by tribe or by any reason, but because he was appointed that position, given that position, because we know here that at these times, in Bible times, that Israel's not a sovereign nation. They're a people of captivity. They are under rule. They're not even given citizenship as they dwell in their own land here in the Jerusalem area. They're not even recognized by the Roman Empire. So Rome sets up a man to rule over the people that Rome really didn't want to mess with. Didn't want to have a whole lot to do with at the time. They were somewhat despised people. So Herod's appointed king. He's basically a political madman, according to what we can read about him in the scripture. And in history, he's a madman. We got some political madmen today, but he was really a political madman. He got away with a lot worse than even the corrupt, wicked, evil politicians get away with today. I mean, you just read verse number 16 where he has all the male children from 2 years old and under killed. That's a terrible, horrible thing right there. I know we allow some atrocities in our nation also, whether you want to call it abortion or whatever else, but yet he went and openly did this. It was murder. Murder, there's no other way to describe it. Yet he did this. They say that Herod, this Herod, murdered his brother-in-law, his wife, his mother, his sons. Caesar Augustus, there's a quote attributed to Caesar Augustus saying it was safer to be Herod's pig than his son. Herod's so worried that somebody's going to take his position from him. It didn't matter if they were bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. They were a threat in his eyes and mine. And so he'd rather get rid of them than love them and be a father to them and have a relationship with them. He's all worried about himself. History tells us that when Herod was about to die, he ordered all the distinguished citizens of Jerusalem to be collected, imprisoned, and slaughtered at the moment of his death. He said the reason he did that was he wanted people to weep on the day that he passed. And he knew they weren't going to weep because he died, so he killed other people so they would weep that day. What a twisted, sadistic, evil man that busted hell wide open. Herod was king when Jesus was born here. We're reading about it in Matthew chapter 2. But he missed the blessing of Christ's birth. You know, Herod had a lot to be saved from, and the Savior was actually born during his lifetime, and yet he missed it. There's a lot of the rest of us that have a lot of sins to be forgiven of, yet a lot of people alive in the world today missed the blessing of God giving himself to us and his son Jesus Christ. So I guess we could say Herod here missing the blessing of the Lord Jesus' birth because of these wrong attitudes we're going to outline here in a few moments that he possessed. And we'll call him the original Christmas Scrooge, okay? But as we point to Herod and say Scrooge, as I do that tonight, we can see that many of the attitudes are still around today. Just like when it comes to Pharisees and you mark their traits in scriptures, you can see that their tribe is still going strong today. Well, there's still some Herodians left. And sometimes we act like it too. We need to be able to identify that and let the scripture correct us. We don't need to possess any attitudes that makes us miss the blessing of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, as a believer tonight, and this is a message to believers, if you're here and you're not a believer, we'll try and make some comments directed at you also, but for the most part, it's a Wednesday night crowd and holiday time, so we're dealing mostly with a house full of believers tonight. We need to be able to identify whatever wrong attitudes would cause us to miss these blessings of our Savior. And the way we can do this is by number one. Here, I'm going to show you three things, okay? Number one, let's get into it. Number one, by resisting an attitude of self-centeredness. by resisting an attitude of self-centeredness. Is there any self-centeredness that goes on during the holidays? During the Christmas season? Yes, there's quite a bit of commercialization, and a lot of people think Christmas comes around once a year just for them. I think Herod was in this Scrooge-like attitude. He had an attitude of self-centeredness. Now look, let's look at it. Look at verse number 1 and 2 again. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. Now, that's a big deal. To come from where they came in those days to Jerusalem at this time of year, that's a big deal. That should have got Herod's attention. Look at it, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? Now these wise men, they came searching for Jesus, and they went to Herod because they didn't know where else to go, and they just assumed if he's a smart man, an intelligent man, and a man of position and authority, that he already knows about this being so close in proximity, that he's all excited about the king being born also. But that was an assumption that the wise men didn't think all the way through when it came to Herod, even though they were wise men. When Herod heard of Jesus' birth, he didn't rejoice like the wise men were rejoicing, like they will when the star appears back in front of them there again, and they see the star in verse 10. They're going to rejoice with exceeding great joy. No, 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 no. Herod didn't rejoice when it came Christmas season. What did he do in verse 3? When he heard these things, he was troubled. He was troubled, and he had some group that was troubled with him. Probably all those in his administration and everything, in his kingdom that were a part of that, and their livelihood was tied to it. They heard the news of another king, and that was devastating to someone that's self-centered. He was troubled. Why was he troubled? Because he was thinking about himself. Thinking about himself. He could probably say this when he heard the wise men talking. Did you say king of the Jews? That's who I am. That's my title. Or that's my entitlement. Now, that's my position. And nobody, including this Jesus you're talking about, is going to take that from me. Herod was a man full of pride. Prideful, egotistical, full of conceit, arrogant, self-glory. He was consumed with number one. He was a trumpet player, like to toot his own horn. But Herod, see, he wasn't looking at what was best for Jerusalem. He wasn't looking at what was best for the Jews, the nation of Israel. He wasn't looking at what was best for the whole world and everybody that lived in it. He was just looking out for himself, what was best for him. He didn't desire a Savior who could change the world and save his people from their sins. He didn't desire that. He wanted things to remain just the same. He wanted to be secure. He didn't want Jesus coming along interfering with any of his plans or any of his schemes, his future, his power, his possessions. He was consumed with himself, too consumed with himself to appreciate the blessings of the birth of God himself, God becoming a man. Imagine what a miraculous event that we still just scratch our heads about today, and yet he was so worried about himself. I don't know, maybe some today don't like Christmas because it's not all about them. Self-centered attitude tells you everything centers around you. Self-absorbed, self-ish. Maybe at one time when we were kids or something, maybe in the past as a child, maybe Christmas was all about you one Christmas, and you've been trying to repeat that Christmas ever since. And nobody will go along with you, and so you don't like Christmas anymore. You just go over to the other team, on Ebenezer's team, Herod's team. A lot of people have the attitude, I don't want Jesus in my life. Herod didn't want Jesus in his life. He didn't want him being born into his life. He didn't want him changing anything in his life. And a lot of people still have that same attitude today. I don't know if they see themselves as a Scrooge or not, but they're a Scrooge. Jesus might come into your life. He might interfere with your plans. He might change your future. You think people would want and embrace what the Lord Jesus could do for them, yet they're too self-consumed to do that. This attitude of self-centeredness is something we need to, if we see it, if it's pointed out by Scripture, if the Holy Spirit puts his finger on it, we need to repent of it. We need to turn away from it. It's something we need to not participate in. It's something we need to flee from. Let's hurry on. Let's go to the second thing, the second attitude I can identify here in this passage when it comes to King Ebenezer here. The second thing, second way to make sure we don't have this wrong attitude is by purposing to have an attitude of giving rather than receiving. Having an attitude of giving rather than receiving. Now, do you see the contrast between the wise men and Herod here? I mean, the wise men are singing Christmas carols. We Three Kings and other ones. Silent Night. They're singing these songs, but Herod's not singing any of those. The wise men came not and tried to get something, but they sacrificed personally. To travel that long is an expensive trip, to have provision, to have food, to be able to feed the animals, to bring whatever it is you're taking on your way. All that takes time and money, and they were willing to give all that so they could worship and give their worship and give their gifts to the newborn king. But Herod was out for what he could get. And if he couldn't get anything that he wanted from the Lord Jesus, and he wasn't interested, he didn't have an attitude of giving, but he had an attitude of receiving. How many people during the Christmas season, they're only worried about what they can get, only worried about what they can receive, when the Bible clearly says, I believe it's Acts chapter 20, if I remember right, that it's more blessed to give than to receive. And that, by the way, that's the word recorded that the Lord Jesus Christ spoke when he was here on earth, I believe. And yet it wasn't recorded in the Gospels, but it's given to us in Acts chapter 20. The Holy Spirit of God wanted to make sure that we didn't miss that. And that was written down for us. It's better to have an attitude of giving than receiving. That's what the wise men had. They desired to find Jesus. They wanted to give their worship, like Brother Bradley said last Wednesday night. They wanted to give their gifts in verse number 11 and going through those. That's always a blessing to look at those. But why did Herod want to find Jesus? Not so he could give him something, but so he could take something away from him, like his life. He wanted to kill Jesus. He wanted to kill him and protect himself and his own interests and his own power. It's so easy to get this same attitude, this Herod Scrooge-like attitude, whether it's Christmas season or any other season of life, wondering why you should give. Do you understand that everything we have has been given to us by God? And if we have an opportunity to give something back to God, that's just Him letting us in on the blessing? That's not God being greedy. Do you think God lacks anything or wants anything or needs anything? No, He's just trying to let us in on the blessing of giving. That was a good verse over there in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 34. I might be getting ahead of myself, but I feel like going to it right now. I think it's a great given verse, and we probably talked about it before, but let's talk about it tonight. Hebrews 10, 34, the writer here is saying, "For ye," the ones he's writing to, "had compassion of me in my bonds," so the writer's in prison at this time, "and took joyfully," these people he's writing to, "took joyfully the spoiling of your goods." You know why they... Would you like somebody to come in and spoil your goods tonight? Would you take that joyfully? Would you be full of joy if you got home and somebody spoiled your goods? You know what that means, right? To spoil your goods? It means you don't have any more goods left, okay? They took everything that was good and they just leave you with what's left over. If you went home tonight and all your goods have been spoiled, would you take that joyfully? Well, here's somebody that had greater need than them, so they saw the need. Maybe God presented them the need, laid that need on their heart, so they took what they had, gave it to someone that had greater needs than them, and they did it with joy, full of joy, because, here's the reason, knowing, verse 34, and it's always good to know some things, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and enduring substance. You know why we can give away earthly things and it not break our heart? It's because we know it's going to be so much better where we're going, what's been given to us. Well, that's kind of weak, but it's still true. Herod didn't want to give anything away. He wanted to keep everything he had and gain more. Wise men wanted to give very expensive gifts away, not including their time, their life, their substance. What a great attitude. Had the attitude of giving with the wise men, the attitude of receiving with Herod. Well, if we know anything about Scrooge, the worldly Scrooge I'm talking about, he didn't want to give anything away at Christmas time. Not to Bob Cratchit or Tiny Tim or anybody else. If you want a miserable Christmas, here's your prescription. Here's your prescription. Don't give of yourself your time. Don't give of your treasure. Don't give, but focus on what you can receive. And see how that scratches your itch and how it fulfills things and gives you joy. It won't. It won't. Eyes of man are never satisfied, and though we try to satisfy them anyway, all we do is leave ourselves longing for more, more, more. Find yourself empty on the inside. Do you want a blessed Christmas? Do you like Acts chapter 20, verse 35? Experience the joy of giving. If you want a blessed life, experience the joy of giving. God's given us so much. I don't know why we should balk at giving something to Him, that He lets us in on that blessing. And by the way, the greatest thing to receive is the gift of God, which is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. I hope you know that tonight. Hope you've received that gift, that you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Let me go on to the third thing here. This is good. I believe this is an attitude that we can all do an attitude checkup on. The third thing we need to do when it comes to attitude and identifying what Herod had and making sure we're not reckoned amongst his attitude or his perspective. The third thing is having an attitude to continue to seek Christ. Continuing to seek Christ. Now look at verse number 8. And it says, and he sent them, so Herod sends the wise men to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child. And when ye, talking about the wise men, have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. There's no excuse for Herod here. He knew, especially after the wise men showed up, he knew there was a young child, a king to seek after. And yet, he says, okay, y'all continue on your journey. You continue seeking him. You continue to go after the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to stay here in Jerusalem. I'm not going to lift a finger. I'm not going to help you locate Jesus. I'm just going to tell you to go, and here's my plan. When you find him and tell me about it, then I'm going to come and do my evil. He's lazy. He's even lazy in his conspiracies. His treachery. It's this attitude he has. It's one thing building upon another. So instead of seeking, he was sitting. Yes, you can find that attitude amongst us believers sometimes. Instead of continuing to seek God, we sit around. We've been given so much in Christ Jesus that we sit around. Oh no, I know there's good things to rest upon, and there's good things to take your firm stand upon, but that's different than continuing to follow the Lord Jesus Christ and grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. Grow with your ability to bring that truth and give that truth out to others you come in contact with. So many people, even at Christmas time, I guess, have the attitude, you do what you want to do, but leave me alone. I think we see that attitude here in Herod in verse number 8. But these wise men, even though they got the information, even though they were continuing to follow the words of the prophet, even though they came from a long way away, and whether it was Daniel that they had got that information from years ago, or however that might have worked, they're continuing to seek the Lord Jesus Christ. They're rejoicing in verse 10 when that star is back set before them. They're rejoicing about that. They're continuing to seek the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me tell you, after you get saved, yes, you've received forgiveness of sin. And yes, you've received eternal life. Yes, you've received a home in heaven in Christ Jesus that'll last forever and everlasting life. But it's no time just to sit and do nothing. It's time to grow. It's time to go. It's time to give. It's time to do what God wants you to do. Whether it's Christmas time or any other time of year, God has given us the opportunity to seek Him instead of sitting. I believe even Christmas time, if you want to look at it and talk about and make all this apply to Christmas, of course, and this season that we're in, I think this season gives us several opportunities. Number one, seek time with loved ones. Number two, seek fellowship with other believers. That's a good thing to do. We're talking about today in College Chapel. We got to watch our yokes of life, because sometimes we get yoked up with people that don't love the Lord Jesus Christ, and before we know it, their wrong love will rub off on us. Our right love is supposed to rub off on them, by the way, but a lot of times it happens the opposite way. I think it's what my dad says. If you have a barrel of apples or a basket of apples, those 25 good apples aren't going to make that one rotten apple turn good, but that one rotten apple can make a bunch of those 25 apples turn rotten. You know, get out of those unequal yokes that we're in sometimes. I'm not talking about just marriage relationships. Don't make me reteach the passage. But the wrong connections and the wrong bonds and ties that we have in life, they make us love things that we're not supposed to love, and we're supposed to have a big heart towards the things of the Lord Jesus Christ. So seek time with loved ones, yes, of course. Seek fellowship with other believers. Strengthen those good bonds and good ties. Seek open doors for witnessing, being a testimony, preaching the truth, preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We say it often, but don't you think that some folks are caught up in the good part of this time of year and might be a little more open. Don't try and talk to them at the shopping mall, because they're in a hurry then, probably. Maybe you can put something in their hand that'll be a help and blessing to them. And seek the Lord Jesus most of all. And how do you seek the Lord Jesus? Sometimes, you know, we get some time off to spend with family and to have the holidays this time of year. School gets out. So you know what? Let's continue to grow by spending time in the Scripture. I think sometimes we get the attitude like we already know what this book says. But the more I read it and the more I study it and even the more I preach it and teach it, I realize I don't know very much at all about what this book says. And if that could be the case with me, it might could be the case with some of you also. We don't know this book like we should know this book. I don't think we know this book like people that lived a long time ago knew this book. I think they actually understood it. I don't want to give you any examples of some of the answers that were put on my test yesterday when I gave it at college, okay? Don't make me do that, because the college students are still here. I'll tell you next Wednesday night. I mean some whoppers, buddy. I'm telling you. Anyway, pretty funny. Pretty good stuff, really. If I didn't feel like such a failure as a teacher, I'd really think it was funny. But since I was a teacher, I'm saying, you're not doing a very good job, pal. Anyway, do you realize this, that Herod was actually a believer in Jesus? He called his chief priests and scribes, the people together in verse 4. He actually knew that there'd been some talk about this before. He actually had heard about this before. Herod's amongst the Jewish people, so even though the nation of Israel is not what it should be at this time period, there's still some folks that are seeking the Lord Jesus amongst the Jewish people in here in Judah. And so he knows about the Lord Jesus. In fact, he even believed Micah 5:2. He believed the wise men were going to find the one that was predicted to be born. And he says, send me word about it. So it's not like he's scoffing at them and telling them, where'd you get your information from? That's not what the latest greatest scholars say anymore. He's not saying that. He's not playing that card. He actually believes the prophecy and the fulfillment of the prophecy about the Lord Jesus Christ. Yet he had no interest in accepting Jesus as his king. In fact, I guess you could say, in your head, believing in Jesus doesn't make you God's child. Because I think it looks to me like Herod had a head knowledge about the Lord Jesus. He definitely wasn't a saved man, if we want to apply that term to him. He definitely did not have a heart knowledge, if you want to say it that way, of the Lord Jesus. Herod was a murdering madman. If you believe in the Lord Jesus, you can't be a murdering madman like that. He never placed his faith and trust in Christ. His trust was in himself, and that's what he was out to preserve. That's all he was about. You know what saves us and gives us eternal life? It's not just hearing the name Jesus or recognizing him. Being in old documents, whether we want to call them historical documents or whether we want to call them Holy Scripture, it's not just knowing and hearing about him and accepting, well, yeah, he lived, he died. No, entering into a personal relationship with him is where it's at. Not just believing in him, but believing on him. Trusting on him. Believing what he accomplished was sufficient to make you right with God for all eternity. To square things up. Sin came in the picture and our relationship was severed. There was no relationship. Man was a sinner. God, as man's maker, was too holy to allow man to have fellowship with him or allow man to be in his presence. Yet Jesus Christ came and he fixed it all up. He took away the sin. He took man and he brought man back to God. That's what the scripture says. That he might bring us to God. It's like that, I like to talk about it, and it's good to look at. It's like that daysman, D-A-Y-S-M-A-N, I think. It could be M-E-N, but I think it's M-A-N. That daysman in the book of Job, the one that stands betwixt God and Job, and a mediator that makes everything right. That man's name, that daysman's name, is the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, head knowledge doesn't get it done. Believing, I guess you could say, in Jesus. There's a lot of religious people that believe in Jesus. They might sing about Jesus come Christmas time. They might talk about Jesus a little bit during Easter or something else. Yet believing on him is so different. Placing your faith, your total trust in him and what he accomplished. Receiving him into your heart. John 1:12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. That's something different. Not sons of Adam anymore. Sons of God. Even to them that believe on his name. So can't sit around like Herod and be miserable. You can make it a miserable Christmas if you want to. Make it all about you. Try to make everybody around you think it should all be about you. Try to do that. You'll be miserable and you'll have company. Misery loves company. That's what the Bible says. Just kidding, it's not in the Bible. But we can sit around like Herod and be miserable. We can miss the blessing of Christ's birth. Not just his birth. The Bible moves us past his birth, doesn't it? Doesn't it just use a couple chapters up to talk about his birth? But it talks a lot about his life. Talks a lot about his death. Talks a lot about his resurrection, his ascension. And his present ministry. He's the king in exile, but he still ever liveth and maketh intercession for us. He's there for us right now. We're supposed to set our affections on things above. If you're Scrooge, you can't do that. It's impossible to be Scrooge and set your affections on things above. It's impossible to say Christ, who is our life. It's impossible to do that. We can be like the wise men. We can seek right things. We can continue to seek Christ. We can continue to grow in this book right here, which is the written word that testifies to the living word. Most important thing this Christmas is to focus on your relationship with Christ, because that's actually going to help. If your relationship with Christ is strengthened, it's going to help those around you. It's going to bring more peace. Yeah, peace to your home. Peace to your earthly relationships. Peace to your personality. Don't blame lack of peace on your personality. It's going to help you. It's going to help you with your relationship with other people. But here's what's interesting. Let me finish with this, okay? And we're finished. Three attitudes. You remember the attitudes tonight? An attitude of self-centeredness. That's a Scrooge attitude. Let's just say no to that. An attitude of giving rather than an attitude of receiving. And then thirdly, an attitude to continue to seek Christ. Herod missed the blessing of Christmas. Do you understand that little did he know that this was his last Christmas? How about that? Doesn't the uncooked potatoes that come to Scrooge in the middle of the night? That's what he blamed it on. Wasn't it a bit of mustard or an uncooked potato? Anyway, you don't know your Scrooge very good. Apparently, no recognition on your faces. The three Christmas spirits, past, present, and future, that come to Scrooge, don't they basically tell him, this is going to be your last Christmas, or getting close to your last Christmas? Unless he reforms? Okay. Well, Mr. Scrooge here in Matthew chapter 2, he didn't reform, and it was his last Christmas. Look at it, Matthew 2:19. But when Herod was dead, D-E-D, with the A there too, he's graveyard dead. Graveyard dead. And it goes on to talk about what happened after that. This is when Joseph and Mary are, and the child are in Egypt. But Herod missed the blessing of Christmas, and he didn't know that it was his last Christmas. I wonder if it'd change our priorities around this Christmas. I wonder if it'd change our attitudes around this Christmas if we actually knew it was our last Christmas. Herod didn't know it was his last Christmas, but it was. Well, let's look at it this way. Christmas is a chance to be around family and loved ones and enjoy each other and love each other. If we knew this was going to be the last Christmas for one of our loved ones, would that change the way we act during Christmas? Things to think about. Here's the big thing, though. Let's don't make the same mistakes Herod made on his last Christmas. Let's keep Christ at the center of our heart, not just during Christmas, but every season of life. If we do that, we're going to enjoy life more. We're going to experience the blessings of life more. Those around us are going to enjoy life more and the blessings of the Lord Jesus Christ more if we place Christ at the center of our hearts. Let's bow our heads for prayer. We'll ask the Lord to bless this time and His Word this evening. Father, we thank You for the opportunity to look at this familiar passage, Lord, and look at a fellow that we've read about a lot. Not just him, I guess, Lord, but also his family. And Father, we can see a lot of traits, and none of them good, really. Herod was just a man. Herod was just a sinner, and Herod needed saving just like any other man that's ever lived. And Father, I know that You've came for all men, and the grace of God hath appeared to all men. So Father, it's our fault if we miss out on Your forgiveness and salvation. Father, this time of year is kind of special to us, so Father, I pray that we get the most out of it, and whatever it is that's hampered us in any way or caused us to have a wrong attitude, a bad attitude, different attitude, Father, I pray You'd help us with that, because of the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit of God that dwells within us, we can choose to yield to that Spirit and to walk not after the flesh. And when we don't walk after the flesh, we don't experience those attitudes of the flesh, like self-centeredness and wanting to receive and get everything for ourselves and sit instead of seeking You and growing in You. So, Father, help us to yield to the Spirit during this Christmas season and all seasons of life. Help us to do that, Father. I pray that this time in Your Word and this example of Herod would help us to do that. As He said to college today, Father, all examples teach us something. Even a bad example teaches us how not to do something. So, Father, let's take this bad example and let's learn from it and help us to follow the good example You've given us in Scripture of the wise men and others. Father, thank You for this time in Your Word. I pray that You'd bless us tonight as we go home, as we dismiss. Father, may You view the rest of the activities of the week. Father, may You bless us our time on Sunday, Lord, as we come together to preach the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we'll thank You for it.